I want to read something to you for just a minute. I don't know for sure what I'm going to do tonight. That's all right, brother. It's all right. I got two or three things running around inside my spirit that I could share with you, but I want to start out in the book of Romans, chapter 5. I was just looking over the group of men here tonight, and God was telling me how much He loves you. He really does. And some of you wonder about that. Some of you have been around a while, and some of you have had some bad experiences, and some of you are wondering where God is. Well, He's right where He was when you took off going wherever it was you were going. He didn't leave. And His heart is open to you and receptive to you, and still of a mind to accomplish the purpose that He had in mind from the very beginning for you. Now I'm going to ask a question. How many of you know that Jesus is your Lord? Alright, let me read to you from Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith." That word justified means made right. You didn't have nothing to do with making yourself right before God. Jesus did it. Jesus did that. He made you right before God. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, the old King James says saved, but the Greek says delivered.
Amen.
Set free. Even has to do with being made whole. That's what's going on in your life when you receive Jesus as Lord. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. God's not at war with you. You need to get that in your thinking, that God Almighty, the Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is not at war with you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 says, "It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing to them their trespasses." God reconciled you even before you received Jesus as Lord. He reconciled you to Himself. He made peace. You were born into this world in opposition to God. You didn't know it, but you were an enemy of God.
We were.
That's how we were born. But Jesus made peace for us. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
God's not mad at you.
Amen.
He might be a little disappointed, but He's not angry at you. God told me one day, He said, "I'm not angry at you because of what happened in the garden."
All right.
It's not your fault. Not yours either. And God made a way to bring you back to Himself in order to obtain the full purpose.
Amen.
That He intended from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, the purpose that He intended for you, for me. He did that in Christ. And what the good news of the gospel is, that you can come under this rule of God, you can enter into the kingdom. The Scripture says in Colossians chapter 1, talking to people that are saved, it says that you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. God moved you from one place to another spiritually. You didn't do it, He did it. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, and you were made fit, able to participate in the inheritance that the saints in the light have. Colossians 1:12 and 13. There's an inheritance that God has for you. It's the kingdom.
Amen.
It's not heaven. Heaven is not your inheritance. The kingdom is your inheritance. Mostly we've been taught that, well, get saved so when you die you get to go to heaven, so everybody's sitting around waiting to die. I asked a bunch of guys one day in a place kind of like this. I said, how many of y'all want to go to heaven? Well, they all raised their hand. I said, anybody want to go right now? Oh yeah, I'm ready. I said, well, that means you got to die. The only way you get to go to heaven is to die.
That's right.
You want to die? I don't. I want to fulfill the purpose that God has for me here in this earth first. You afraid to die, Brother Tisdale? No. Because I know Jesus has already taken care of all of that. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't know that there's a kingdom inheritance that belongs to you, then you'll just sit around and wait to die so you can go to heaven. Now, heaven's a real place. So is hell.
Amen.
But Jesus took care of that heaven thing for you.
He did.
He really did.
Yes, he did.
Let's read Romans 5, 1 and 2 together. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access. What does access mean? If I got the key to that door, I have access to that room on the other side. And so through Jesus, it says through whom? It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom also we have access. I have access through Jesus into this grace, this purpose and plan of God, this gift that God has given. I have access to it. And I can rejoice in hope of the glory of God being made manifest in my life.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Oh, you say, well, that's the glory of God, that's heaven. No, it's talking about the nature and character. Moses said, show me your glory.
Right.
Go look in Exodus 33 and 34 and you can read where Moses said to God, show me your glory. And God said, come on, stand off over here, Moses, and I'll tell you who I am. I'll show you what I'm like. He's good, he's kind, he's forgiving, he's full of truth, he's patient, he's slow to anger. That's what he's like. That's his glory, his nature and character. And so we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of having the glory, the nature and the character of God made manifest in our lives in the earth today.
Right.
Now, how's that going to happen? You say, well, I've been saved for a while and none of that's happening. Well, let me show you what the Bible says about how to get it working. Can I do that? Matthew 6:33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus gives us the instructions and tells us how to do it. Now, you say, well, if it's my inheritance, I just got to go pick it up. Well, no, because sometimes in a will, to get an inheritance, there's some stipulations of some things you have to do or become in order to be fit for the inheritance. You've been translated into the kingdom, now you got to learn how to live in it. And you have to learn how to put to work what God intends. You say, oh, I got to do something? Yeah. That was Israel's problem. God told them in Numbers chapter 13, He said, I'm going to give you this land. And they got over there and they found out it was a good land, but they found out there were giants in the land too. And there were some walled cities. And they said, oh, that's more than we can do. Those giants are bigger than we are. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they got all them walled cities. We can't do this. Well, there was two old boys that knew better. Joshua and Caleb. God's still looking for some Joshuas and some Calebs. Men that are willing to take what God says, believe what God says, and do whatever it takes to get what God wants you to have. The Israelites, they just wanted to go fall into it. They didn't want to do nothing. Lazy, that's a good word. Spiritually lazy. A lot of the church have been trained to be that way. You guys, actually, every one of you guys, know how to do stuff. You was doing stuff that got you here. You didn't just fall into this place. You was doing something that got you here. So you got a mind and you can think. You just thinking and using your mind in the wrong direction. If you begin to think and use your mind in God's direction, according to His purposes and plans, you can do or be whatever God's called you to be. That's the truth. Some of you guys thought up some real ingenious things. Thought nobody had ever figured it out. Had some real good scams going on. And it fell apart because God made it fall apart. Because you wasn't moving in the direction He wanted you to go. One scripture says, God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. One old boy said, that's not a promise, that's a threat. God ain't going to leave you alone. You belong to Him. He chased you down. That's why you here. He didn't let you go your own way. He ain't going to let you go your own way anymore. He hemmed you up so He can find His purpose in your life. So you can get a hold of it. So Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. You say, well, I know the Bible says that. What's that mean? Well, let's talk about it. To seek something means to actively go after. I don't know what it was you was going after, whatever it was you was doing that got you here, but you was actively doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes,
think about it. You was doing something. Some of them seeking money. Some of them seeking possessions. Some of them looking at going after women. But you was making an effort. You was thinking about it. Right? I hear y'all laughing back there. You had something on your mind you was going after. Well, get the kingdom of God on your mind and go after that. Now, let's talk about it a minute. It says the kingdom of God. Now, where there's a king, he has a kingdom. That means he rules. Now, here in these United States, we have a little problem with that because we elect our leaders. We vote on who our leaders are, but ain't nobody voted on God. He's king. He's king from the beginning. It says in the beginning, God. Well, before the beginning, God was too. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means that God lives in a place and is a thing called eternity. He's the eternal God. He's the everlasting, self-sufficient. You may think you're self-sufficient, but you're not. When you came into this world, you needed somebody to feed you. You needed somebody to wash your behind. And when you go out of this world and are old, you probably going to need somebody to feed you and somebody to wash your behind. You are not self-sufficient. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is the only self-sufficient one. He don't need nothing from nobody because He's God. He wants something, not just from you, but He wants something for you. God don't need anything from you, but He wants something for you. He wants His love and His plan, His destiny, which is better than anything you can imagine. I don't care what you can think of. You can't think up anything better than what God can think of. There's some faces here I haven't seen before, so I'm going to tell you my three things about God. He's good. He loves me. And He knows more than I do.
Amen.
And it's the same thing with you. He's good, He loves you, and He knows more than you do. And when you get that settled down in your thinking, you'll be a long way down the road to allowing God to work in your life. Most of us think we know more than God does. That's our problem. So He said, seek first the kingdom of God. So where there's a king, He has a kingdom. And the law of the kingdom is what the king says. The law of His kingdom is what He says. His word is law. So if I'm going to live in the kingdom of God, that means I got to live under the rule of God. I got to learn how to do what He says. Now, you've been born again, received Jesus as Lord, called Him Savior and Lord. How many of y'all told a lie since you got saved? Anybody besides me? Well, you see, you didn't do what He said. You say, well, you're trying to make me feel bad. No, I'm trying to make a point. You see, we have to decide we're going to learn to come under His Word, because He's King. You say, well, is He going to whip me because I lied? Well, the Bible says this, every man reaps the fruit of his own doing. Your lie is going to come back. Be assured, the Scripture says, your sin will find you out. God don't have to do nothing. God just set the wheels in motion. And the way it works is, when I don't do what He says, it comes back at me. What goes around comes around. So when I learn how to seek the kingdom and put the purposes and the plans of God first in my life, then that means, and I just read to you in Romans 5 where it says I have access to this grace. I have access to God. I have access to His power to help me learn how to do these things. You see, what the deal is, we want to be saved, but we figure after we receive Jesus as Lord, we got it all figured out and boxed up so we can just go on back to life as normal. No. Now, you can do that if you want to, but kingdom stuff's not going to work for you because you're not seeking the kingdom. You're going after your own stuff. And God will let you do that. He most certainly will. He loves you so much, He'll let you have your own way if you want it. I had hoped to have a blackboard up here or a whiteboard to draw something on here for you, but I'm just going to... You probably can't, many of you, see this, but what this is a circle with a circle inside it. And inside the little circle are three letters, K-O-G, Kingdom of God. And on the outside circle, I have eight words: family, school, church, kids, job, business, money, and wife. That pretty well covers the whole thing. Now, all of those things are important. Every one of those things. God gave me my wife. God gave me my kids. The money I have, God gave me.
That's right.
The ministry, the work that I do, God called me into that. The family that I have, not just my wife and my kids, but my extended family, God gave them to me, right? Now I'm talking about, I'm saying me, but you can say you me too. The school that I went to, God sent me there. You say, well, what do you mean God sent you there? Well, yeah, because when I was a boy coming up, where my mom and daddy lived, where I lived, God put me in that family, and my daddy saw to it that I went to school, so God was behind all of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God's in the midst of everything. But what happens is, we get focused on this outer circle. Wife, family, school, church, kids, job, business, money. We get focused on those things. Those are all important. But the main thing is this little circle here. K-O-G, Kingdom of God. Jesus didn't say seek first your wife. He didn't say seek first your job or your money. He said seek first the kingdom. Are you hearing me? Now you say, like I said, all these things on this outside circle are important. They're very important because God gave them to us. But to keep things in right order and correct priority, I have to focus on the rule of God in my life first. And God may be saying, your money ain't first. And He may be saying, your church ain't first after me. God's saying, first after me. He's first. Today, when I get up, God may be saying, I want you to be looking after your family. I got something for you to do with your family. He may be saying, I got something on your job that I want you to focus on. But if He's saying it, I'm coming under His rule. See, what we try to do, we try to make the kingdom of God a bunch of laws, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I keep that in order. No, I have to have a relationship with Almighty God where I can see and hear what He's saying today is the issue. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, you can learn how. And so when you decide that you want to begin to put what He says first, then He's going to help you learn how to do that. Let me read you a verse out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Let me have my glass of water there, right there. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Now it didn't say ask one time, or seek one time, or knock one time. It says you keep doing that. That's the sense of it in the Greek. It's an ongoing, progressive thing. You keep on asking. Persistence, that's a good word. In fact, if you read a little bit the little story up above, it's exactly what it's talking about. You being persistent, continuing to draw near to God. Because, you know, most of us, we want what God wants for us, but we don't want it enough to make much effort. We get lazy. Old boy telling the story about baptizing a guy, and he baptized him, and he just held him under, and he held him under some more, and pretty soon that old boy that was being baptized, he come fighting up out of there because he wanted a breath of air. He said, what are you doing? He said, I thought you was baptizing me. He said, I was. But he said, I thought I'd give you a taste of what it means to want God. When you get to where you want God more than you wanted that breath you was fighting for, you really in good shape. He will teach you a little lesson. You say, well, that's pretty hard. Well, yeah, but you got to want God. You ain't just playing around. He's for real, and he means business. He's about life and death. He's about eternity. The 70 or 80 years you might live on this earth is a like that. It's a vapor, says that. And so, seek first the kingdom. There's priorities. Now, all of these things in this outside circle, those eight things, they're all important. God give them to you. But what's in the middle? KOG, the kingdom of God. That's the most important. And as you seek, ask, and knock, then you're going to get answers. If you knock, He's going to open the door. If you ask questions, He's going to give you answers. If you seek for the kingdom, He's going to let you find. But you got to be real persistent, brothers. It's not about playing games. I'm 73 years old, and somebody asked me here not too long ago, said, "Aren't you retired yet, Brother Tisdale?" And I said, "No, I'm not retired. I'll retire when they stick me in the ground."
Right. Amen.
That word's not in my vocabulary. I don't find Moses retiring. I don't know why I should. You say, "Well, you don't want to retire." No, I want to walk with God. I find it interesting. I find it kind of exciting. I don't have to jump out of an airplane to get excitement. I just get up every day and walk with God, and I find that's pretty exciting. You know, that's what some folks do. That they go jump out of airplanes or climb mountains or jump out of bungee cord because they're looking for a rush. I get rushes all the time. I never know what God's going to do. I never know. He surprises the heck out of me all the time. You say, "Well, is that really what it's..." Yeah, it's about serving Him, walking with Him, and letting Him order your steps. Coming under the rule. If I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, I'm seeking to come under His rule. And that means I'm listening for what He has to say. But I have to learn how He talks. I have to learn where He's going. And I can find all that out in this book. But then if I spend time talking to Him, I think we call that prayer. And if I spend more time listening to Him, that's also called prayer. See, because prayer is communication with God, and communication to be communication is two-way. Most people think prayer is just telling God what the problem is and telling Him how to fix it. I was doing that one day, telling God all the crap that was going on, and He said, "You think I don't know what's happening?" I thought about it a minute and said, "Well, yeah, you probably do know." He says, "Well, let me give you the answer. Don't be telling me how to fix it." God don't need your answers. He needs your availability. Okay. So Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Now, I'm back over here in Luke, and he says in chapter 11, verse 10, "Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now listen to this. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Well, no, the answer to that is no. You guys wouldn't give your son a stone if he asked for a piece of bread. Or if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent instead of a fish? No, you wouldn't do that. Or if he asked for an egg, would he offer him a scorpion? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?
Amen. Amen.
Now, one thing you can ask God for is for His Spirit to indwell you.
Yes, Lord.
You say, "Well, that happened when I got saved." No. No, it didn't. You were born by the Spirit, baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. But ask God for the indwelling Holy Spirit so you can learn to hear His voice. He's not far off. He wants to take up residence right here. In fact, your body is the dwelling place for the Spirit of God. So ask. He said, "He who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now let me just tell you, brothers, it's a process. It takes time. God's not in a hurry. Let me tell you what God told me, and I'm telling you He's saying the same thing to you. What He's doing in your life is going to take the rest of your life. That's why I decided I wouldn't retire.
Come on now.
You say, "Well, you're 73. They send me my Social Security, but I ain't retiring. They gonna pay me that a long time." I'm gonna live a long time. I plan to live a long time. You say, well, you don't have no say. Well, yeah, I do. There's power in my words. God said man's days would be 120 years, and I'm going for it.
All right.
You say you can't do that. Well, I just said it. I'll be here when some of you guys are gone, because y'all are believing you might just make... I heard a song the other day where a guy said, well, he thought he might make 30. Don't be listening to that kind of stuff. All right. Now, let me find my... Oh, I know. Matthew 13. How are we doing on time? 8:30. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now, you ought to read and study the 13th chapter of Matthew. Just, in fact, as I admonish you to do this, get you a notebook and write this chapter out. Just write it out in your own handwriting and read it and ask God to help you understand it, because there's some hid treasures there. And you're not going to just get it because you read it a couple of times. God told us over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, God told Moses to tell Israel, when they had a king, to tell the king to write out the scriptures. And he was specifically talking about the book of Deuteronomy. To write the whole book in his own handwriting. 17. Deuteronomy 17. I don't remember what verse. You just go read chapter 17 and you'll find it. Amen. He also told him some things not to do. Told him, said, don't be multiplying horses to yourself. Don't be multiplying gold and silver, and don't be multiplying wives to yourself. And Solomon did every one of those things he told him not to do. I don't know if he wrote out the book. Solomon was a wise man, but he got messed up. All them wives messed up his head. You think? That's why God only gave one to mess with your mind, much less 700 and 300 concubines. I got enough with the one wife I got. I had her 55 years, and I got plenty with that. She keeps me confused still. I don't know what I'd do with 1,000 of them. That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. Matthew 13:44. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, joy over the treasure that he found and that he hid, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Brothers, the kingdom is the treasure. The kingdom is the treasure. And it says this guy found the treasure in a field, and he hid it, and then he went and bought that field, sold every cotton picking thing he had so he could buy that field. You say, well, he got rid of everything. Yeah, but he got a treasure worth more than what he had. Now, all these things around this outside circle, that's much value. Your family, your church, your kids, your wife, your business, your money. But you better let go all of it for this right here. Because when you do this, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. If you're adding them to yourself, you're going to lose them. But if you're putting first things first, then He's going to add those things to you. You see, you say, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, first you got to make the decision. That's the first thing. You say, well, I made a decision. I received Jesus as Lord. Well, yeah, that's right. But you just got started. When you receive Jesus as Lord, you just got started. It's like It's like if I was going to build a house and I poured the foundation. I just got started. I might have all the lumber and all the plumbing parts and all the brick and everything, but I don't have a house. Are you hearing me? When you receive Jesus as Lord, you just did ground level. When you repented, believed in your heart, and confessed with your mouth, got baptized in water and got baptized in the Spirit, you just did ground level. God wants to build. But you got to seek first the kingdom. You got to put first things first. You say, well, I just really want to do this or I want to do that. I don't know what your want to is, and it don't make any difference. If you'll subordinate that want to the kingdom and put kingdom stuff first, God will add that to you in due season.
All right.
He will do that. You may have it in your heart that you want to, you may want to be a doctor or something. I don't know. Say, ain't nobody here could be a doctor. Any one of you could if you decided you wanted to do it and you'd commit yourself to the time and do what needs to be done. You can do whatever you want to do. But you better subordinate that to the kingdom of God. Find out what He's saying in respect to that and get His timetable, not yours. When I was a 17-year-old boy, I wanted to go to college and I wanted to be a pharmacist. I loved chemistry and I thought that's what I'd like to do, is be a pharmacist. A year later, I was married. Now, I haven't been to college yet. You know what? God had other plans. Do I still like chemistry? Yeah. That stuff interests me. But my life, if somebody told me when I was 17 that I was going to be pastoring a church and dealing with a bunch of God's sheep, strange people, I'd have said, I don't think so. Because first of all, I didn't like preachers. Not because they were I just didn't like what I saw them do. I've been reading the Bible since I was 11 years old, and a lot of preachers I saw, they wasn't doing what the book said to do.
Amen.
And so I didn't like what I saw. I didn't want to be a preacher. But God had another want to. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
It's all right to want to do something, but subordinate that to God and see what He's doing. I'm glad today that I'm not a pharmacist. I'm glad I don't have to deal with that kind of stuff. I'd rather be right here than standing behind some counter someplace counting pills for somebody. So listen what he said. I'm not through here. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. You got to buy the farm, guys. You got to commit everything you have. He turned everything he had into money and he went and bought that field that had the treasure in it. Now look at the next verse. Verse 45. It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Made a commitment. Both of them did. What he saw, the treasure in the field, in verse 44, and the pearl of great price in the next couple of verses, was of greater value than everything that he had, so he subordinated what he had to that. These things on the outer circle are a treasure. But you have to subordinate that to this. And when you do that, guys, then Jesus is going to add that to you in such a way that it can't be taken from you. When He adds something, ain't nobody taking it away. When you add it to yourself, you stand a good chance to lose it somewhere along the way because you don't know how to add it the way he does. Hallelujah. I'll tell you my little story and then I'm going to quit. There's somewhere over in the South Sea Islands in the Philippines or someplace, there's some folk over there that, in these jungles, they got a lot of monkeys. And they trap these monkeys. Some people say they trap them to eat them. Some people say they trap them to train them and sell them to make money off of. But nonetheless, they're trapping monkeys. And the way they do that, they have a little round clay jar that's got a bottom on it about this big around, and then it has a spout that goes up, narrow spout, and that monkey can just get his hand down in that spout. Down in the bottom of that, in the bottom of that jar, they put nuts and fruit down in there. Now, and then they set this jar out there and they tie it down to the tree that the monkey's in. And the monkey sticks his hand down in there to get that nut. But when he grabs hold of that nut, the nut makes his hand bigger and he can't pull his hand out of the spout. And you can come right in, you can knock that monkey in the head, he ain't going to turn loose of that nut. Because once he got it in his hand, he ain't turning loose of it. Now that monkey, listen to me, that monkey don't want to be caught. He wants to be free, but once he gets that thing in his hand, he ain't turning loose. And so that monkey belongs to the guy that put the jar there. Now here's the moral to the story. How many of y'all want the kingdom? If you want the kingdom, you got to turn loose of what you got. Don't be like the monkey. You have to turn loose of what you got to get what you want. In the story that Jesus told, he sold everything he had to get the treasure. Turn loose of what he had to get what he wanted. All this treasure here that we're looking at on this outside circle, that's a treasure. Your family, your school, your church, your kids, your job, your business, your money, your wife, all that's treasure. But you have to subordinate or turn loose of that and to grab hold of this. If you're holding on to those things, you like the monkey, you caught. Now, I know you guys are smarter than monkeys. What?
Can I get a copy of that when you come next time?
Yeah? I'll just give it to you. I got another one.
Thank you, sir.
May you share that?
Yeah.
You see to it that he shares. Okay? You don't want one? You got you. Okay. Well, somebody, y'all, do you all have access? Will they somebody make you a copy of that on a copy machine? Okay. Well. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm gonna leave that with you, and I want y'all to look at it. But remember, yeah, turn loose what you got to get what you want.
Amen.
Say this, I'm smarter than a monkey.
I will
turn loose
of
what I got so I can obtain the kingdom. Amen. You know what? Listen to me. God believes that you're smarter than monkeys too. And He'll work with you in that. Let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, I thank You tonight for Your goodness and Your kindness. I thank You, Father, for the Word that's gone forth. And I ask, Lord, that You give these Your sons remembrance of what's been spoken. Let it sink down deep in their hearts and bring forth fruit in their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.